Thanks for joining us for another episode of Forever 39 with Annette and Megan. We finally have our own Twitter page, so we implore you to go to Twitter and follow us at Forever39NJ. Also, you can like us on Facebook via NJ1015's page, and of course, you can email us anytime at forever39@nj1015.com. We love comments, tips, show ideas, so please reach out to us. To get the Forever 39 podcast, please subscribe via the NJ101.5 app, iTunes, or Google Play. So today, coming up in this episode, we will chat about what we loved as kids in the summertime, brides who think their wedding day means the same to everyone that it means to them. But up first, does your hubby or wife have a work spouse? And to help us with all topics mentioned, we have friend to the show. I always wanted to say that. Tony Ann Antonelli, Digital Managing Editor for Programming at NJ1015.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you guys for having me.
You're our favorite. We shouldn't tell the other guests.
No, we shouldn't. But we love when you're here. So, the other day I was on the phone. I have a couple jobs, and one of my jobs, I do have a work spouse. And the other day we were on the phone, he and me, and we talk on the phone quite frequently, and sometimes our conversations can go over an hour. And his wife was in the background, and she was like chiming in with ideas or thoughts. And Mike would walk by my husband and chime in with thoughts. And I thought, after I hung up the phone, I thought, this is really weird. Like, I'm talking to this guy, his wife doesn't care, Mike doesn't care. And we were talking about work.
Right.
But what I find interesting is he can understand, my work husband can understand what's going on there so much differently than Mike can.
Of course.
Because he knows the nuances.
Of course, yeah.
And everything like that. So, and Annette and I got to talking, and she actually found statistics that are scary to me.
Some of them are pretty frightening.
Yeah, so do you want to talk about some of that?
Yeah, sure. So Office Pulse did a study earlier this year, and they found that 70% of business professionals have or have had in the past a work spouse. So what's really interesting about this, in 2006, that percentage was only at 32%. So clearly the workplace spouse relationship is growing in the office. The majority of work spouses are with someone of the opposite sex. I don't think that would be surprising to most people. The survey also reveals what work spouses talk about with each other. So obviously work and other coworkers, but they also talk about current issues, social plans, and they also talk about each other's real life spouses. 41% admit to doing that. So the good news is most of the relationships begin and end at the office door. 41% of those with a work spouse say they never see that person outside of work, but not everybody keeps it in the office. Nearly 20% say they meet up outside of work at least once a week, and 1 in 4 say it's at least once a month. And here's where I think things get a little troubling. So 7% admit to crossing the line with their workplace spouse, and 6% say they may have crossed the line.
What's crossing the line? Do you know?
They didn't ask that question. They just asked, did you cross the line? Men are more likely than women to cross the line. And what does the real spouse at home think about their husband or wife's office spouse? Well, most of them seem okay with it. Because only 7% of men say their real spouse is jealous of their workplace spouse. And for women, that percentage is only 2%. So if you think your husband doesn't have a work spouse, well, think again. 11% of males admit to hiding their work spouse from their real spouse. Only 5% of women admit to doing that. So some people have said, you know, like, well, how can you tell if there might be something going on with my husband's work spouse? Like, is he maybe a little too close to her? One of the things you might want to look out for, according to information I found in the Daily Mail, if he lies about how much time he spends with his workplace spouse, if he doesn't want you to meet her, or if you do meet her and she's really cold toward you, those are some signs that you might want to sort of be aware of, that maybe things are not super platonic between the two, or there's an attraction and he doesn't really know how to deal with it. So, I mean, I don't have a work spouse, and I think the reason I don't have one is because I'm in management and I manage a team of people. So I don't think it would be appropriate for me to show favoritism to one person versus another. Mm-hmm. How about you, though? Because I was, when I was talking about this topic to Patrick Lavery, who is one of our staff members who's been on the podcast before, and he's an anchor, producer, reporter with the news team, he was like, well, I think Tony was probably my work wife when we worked together and we had the same hours. Right. But do you feel like you have one now?
I mean, I think definitely with Patrick, because we were literally in the same newsroom for hours at a time. But it, again, when you have what I guess you would consider a workplace spouse, you're doing it because you, like Megan said, you know the nuances of your job. You're in the same place for hours a day, and your focus should be, anyway, to talk about work. It's somebody that you can vent to about work. It's Absolutely. Somebody you can bounce ideas off about work. So again, like I guess you say maybe Chris Swenneman is maybe my workplace spouse. But the thing is, I mean, he knows my husband. My husband knows him. I know his wife. I've spent time with her. You know, so we all kind of know each other and we're friendly with each other. And everything has to do with work.
Yeah, so right, there are no red flags.
Everything
like
has
you were
to
mentioning.
Do with work. Yeah, exactly. And a lot of times, once the show that he works with is over, he goes to a different part of the building. I'm still in the same place. So we really aren't, obviously, like we have a good friendship, but, and we do, we've had arguments like
you
know,
you guys
married
are
couples
right.
to the right. point, yeah, to the point where like we didn't talk for days. So, you know, and that stuff can happen, but everything is focused on work. We don't see each other outside the office. You know, we don't really talk outside the office. And on the outside chance that we have to, it's usually about work, you know, related things.
I think where it becomes tricky is when you're turning to that person for issues that have nothing to do with work.
Right. Yeah, see, that's right. not right. even, I'm thinking of my work husband now, and that wouldn't even occur to me.
Right,
right.
Like, it's
right.
so wrapped up in work.
It's awkward. It wouldn't be awkward. It would be a little yes. awkward.
Right, like if you just had a fight with your husband and your first inclination was to call Chris Wendeman,
no,
that's where it becomes a problem.
Well, but right. see, I don't know, that would be something too you'd want to talk to a girlfriend about.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
You would hope.
If that was the case.
And
yeah.
that's where I think
you would hope.
It could become
mm-hmm.
an issue. Mm-hmm. I was reading something where they documented a case where this couple was going through IVF treatment, and it was really challenging on the couple, and they were not having a lot of success. And the husband didn't feel like he could talk to his wife about the feelings, and so he was talking to his workplace spouse about it. And then they got close. And that's where I think you have to really be careful, because yeah. it's understandable that you work with this person a lot. Probably you see this person more than you see your wife or husband. Mm-hmm. So you do need to draw a line as to like, well, how much am I really going to share with them?
Well, one thing I read that I thought was very interesting is it said a lot of times men especially only want to present to their wife
Yes.
the best of
yes.
them. If they're only showing the best to their wives, but their vulnerabilities to their work wife, that actually is going to develop a deeper relationship with the work wife. So I think when you love your spouse, warts and all, that's a better way to be than I need to be perfect. I need to be seen as perfect in her eyes.
Absolutely. Because if you start showing that vulnerability to the workplace spouse, you're going to probably maybe feel a little bit more comfortable with that person to show your flaws.
That would break my
and
heart.
And then that's going to really right. draw you guys closer.
Right.
So, and that's definitely a problem.
When in reality,
Absolutely.
It should be your wife you're talking
right.
to and drawing closer to her.
Right.
Especially going through something so traumatic like IVF or whatever the situation is.
Absolutely.
Right. Because again, awkward. You get into that awkward. I don't think that I would want to show that much vulnerability to anybody at work.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm home, that's one thing. You know, my husband sees when I'm upset, when things are, you know, at my worst times. But I think when I'm at work, I want to, you know, at least have an image of myself and present an image of myself more professional, more put together, that I can handle things. I'm at work. I should be showing people that I can handle things.
Yeah, and
so,
there's, I mean, there's definitely something to be said, though, for being able to call somebody that you work with when you want to talk about the boss or, you know,
right.
want to talk about a coworker that sure. only they will understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can rail all you want
it
to your
priceless.
Husband, mm-hmm. but he's just like, oh my God, like, whatever.
Sometimes
babe.
You just want to know you're
yes.
normal, like that it's
right.
not you in the situation that's a lunatic, but it's the other person.
Exactly.
And a lot of times, I think a work spouse can give you that when your husband or wife doesn't know that Steve from accounting is a creepster or whatever,
right.
you know?
I mean, I think the good news, though, about what this survey showed is that for the most part, these relationships are just normal, friendly relationships,
right.
and they don't go any deeper than that. There is a small percentage where it has, but I think you can argue that that probably would have happened whether it was a work spouse or not.
Right.
You know, like people
That's
have
a good
affairs.
Point. If you're looking, you're looking.
Right. If you're looking, you're looking.
But again, disclosure too is a big. So if you have somebody that you're working with that you're close enough to that you're venting to them about work-related issues, that's something that in the course of conversation with your spouse, they should be aware of. And if they're not comfortable with that, it might be time for you to scale back that work relationship sure. a little bit to make them comfortable because they're still your priority.
When I speak to my work spouse, I'm sitting in the middle of the house, wide open. Mm-hmm. Mike walks by. He works from home. He's always around.
Right.
And it's not like I'm curled up in the garage in my car, right, like whispering to
like a teenage girl.
Right. It's completely, it's about work and it's about my sanity at that point.
Well, we want to hear what you have to say. Do you have a workplace spouse? Let us know at NJ1015.com. All right, ladies. So before we start talking about growing up in New Jersey mm-hmm. in the summertime as kids and our favorite memories, I want to do some poll results. Okay. Megan, I know that normally when we take a poll and we're on opposite sides, I normally come out ahead. Mm-hmm. But this one, definitely not the case. So we asked you guys a couple episodes ago, are you an adult Disney fanatic? 78% of you said yes.
Wow. See?
And 17% of you said no. So I am on the no side. But obviously, I am in the minority.
You are, you fool.
You are.
You are.
And then we also asked you guys, we did a topic last week about plastic surgery trends. Mm-hmm. And we asked you, what cosmetic surgery procedure would you never go under the knife for? And the number one, buttocks implants. So 50% of you said, not going to have my tushy touched.
No, thank you.
Facelift was 30%. People said, nope, not going to do that. And breast implants was at 10%.
Wow.
So, yeah. Really? So I thought it was interesting. Nobody chose liposuction or eyelid surgery. So apparently our audience is down for those cosmetic procedures. Wow. And then the last one that we also did was, we did a topic on the fashion faux pas in the summertime mm-hmm. in the workplace. So we asked you guys, what clothing item do you think is the biggest fashion faux pas in the workplace? And 40% of you said anything strapless. So I would have to.
I panicked for a second.
I would have to agree like, with that one. But flip flops came in at number two.
Yeah, I agree. So, I'm not the biggest work flip flop. Yeah.
You know, but
No, sitting next to Tonya.
So, ladies, you know, growing up in New Jersey during the summertime, I just have so many fond memories of that. I was fortunate because I grew up in sort of a non-traditional kind of household in the sense that my mom was a single parent. And when my parents got divorced, we moved from your regular old sort of, you know, suburban neighborhood to an apartment complex.
Where, what town were you in?
I was in Ewing.
Oh, you were in Ewing.
And, you know, I learned a lot in the apartment complex. I learned about sex because, you know, you could hear it through the walls.
Yeah.
But, you know, you grow up in a way because you have a lot of different people around you. And so you learn, I feel like you learn to be very accepting of a lot of people because in an apartment complex, you know, it's all walks of life. But one of the things I have so many fond memories of is just being able to ride around with my bike and going to the playground and then meeting up with my friends that lived there because you had like instant friends. You know, you had, we had like, I can't remember, maybe it was like 10 to 12 units mm-hmm. and each unit probably like, you know, each building had at least 50 apartments. So you had a lot of people that you could become friends with. And I just remember we'd go down to the pool. We'd hang out all day. We'd play spit. We would just do all kinds of different things. I'll never forget too. Like, it's also like where you have like the fun stories of mm-hmm. your childhood. So one of my favorites, it's quite embarrassing, is I remember I was like 11 years old and I had gotten my period recently. And, you know, back in those days, you were not as wise. Like, you know, my mom was always good about telling me things, but like there's certain things like she left out. Mm-hmm. For example, what do you do when you have your period and you want to go swimming, right?
Oh, God. Right. Yeah.
I call up my one friend and she's like, just, you know, put a pad on the swimsuit. So I did that.
Oh, no.
And then I promptly dove off the diving board and I went one way and the maxi pad went another.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's just like fun memories, though, you know, embarrassing memories.
I would die.
Just that you have, though, as a kid. And so I was wondering, you know, like, I always loved to, like, hot summer night, and your mom would come home, my mom would come home and be like, we're going out for ice cream, and how exciting that was to, you know, go get ice cream at night.
Yeah.
So what are some of your memories that you really enjoy, you know, growing up in the summertime in New Jersey?
Do you want to go?
What I loved, so most of my friends had swimming pools, so we had a pool, and we were always like the go-to house.
And what town were you in?
I was in Roselle.
Okay.
So in Union County. And so we had a pool. Some of my other neighbors did, but I think we were kind of the go-to. And we were also across the street from a school, so I feel like anytime there was a Little League game, people would just end up migrating back over to my house afterwards, which was awesome. But my biggest memory is swimming at night. Night swimming.
Fun.
We had the lights on the pool. We would put the music on. You know, my dad sometimes would barbecue. But night swimming, I haven't done that in so many years, and I miss it. I think that was
there
the
is something
thing.
Special about it. We have a pool now, and my niece and nephew, it's always, can we go night swimming tonight? Can we go? There's something special about that light glistening in the pool, and it's warm, and there's
the light
noises.
The buds around. It's so different. It's so different.
So special. You know what I loved growing up? We grew up on a great block, and there was a swim club on my block. So we had a pool in our backyard, but you could hear the announcements while you were swimming in my pool from the pool down the block. But just how everybody would like gather around, and we'd do like these where we'd run through the sprinkler. And not too long ago, I caught that smell. You know, when the sprinkler, the bar, and they're like all the holes, right?
Yes.
And then it rotates back and forth. There's something about that smell and like playing with the sprinkler, like sitting on my front yard, like moving it around and watching it turn, and like going and riding my big wheel and pretending it was a car wash.
Right.
And,
right.
Oh my God. Like for one more summer as a 10-year-old, I would kill for that, to hear Mr. Softy come around, to run out. And I remember my parents had this huge glass jug in their bedroom, and they just dropped change in it. And, you know, my sisters and I would go in and try to, like, tilt it and get money for, it was just such a wonderful time.
I wonder if kids enjoy summers now as much as we did, because I feel like, I don't know about you girls, but I feel like I never, and this is something that certainly has been spoken about before, but I feel like I never, ever see kids playing.
I never see kids
playing outside. And I'm so grateful that I grew up in a time when that's what you did. You didn't sit in front of a television or play video games. You went outside, and your curfew was like 9 o'clock. You never saw your mom until then.
That's right.
You maybe came home from dinner, or you called her from somebody else's house and said, hey, do you care if I have dinner at Sandy's house? That's what you did, but I feel like that doesn't really happen anymore.
I don't think it does.
No, and it's regimented. There's play dates now, and there's, you know, whose house you at, and everybody's got a cell phone, and people are doing things inside, and even if they are outside, you have a cell phone. I mean, we left the house in the morning, and we could hear my mother yelling up and down the street if she wanted us to come home. So, so that's how we knew we needed to be home, or the streetlights came on. And, okay, we knew it was going to get dark, and we better be home before it was completely dark.
Right.
So, I mean, that, and, you know, I didn't even have a watch. I had a Swatch watch at one point.
Oh, a Swatch watch.
But until I had my really awesome Swatch watch with the fishies on the dial, until I had that, I had no idea what time it was until the lights came on, and then I knew to come home.
No, we didn't have cell phones.
No, and but you know what, too? The kids still play sports through the summer, and they're still going on tournament trips in the summer, and I have friends that can't go to the shore because their kid is a tournament. I don't remember any of that when I was a kid.
So I don't remember any of that either.
So
I also don't remember any of these like summer packets that kids have to do nowadays. Like, I'm like, what do you mean a summer packet? Like, I just remember school ended, you were done.
Yes.
The next day, you were with your friends, and that's how it went until you started school again.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, I don't know. It's very different.
It's different, and it doesn't seem happier to me.
Right.
It doesn't.
No.
I don't know how this would be better. I'm so grateful for that time and for that exploration.
Sure.
And although, like you were saying, Annette, that's the summer, you know, they're embarrassing that happens, but there are all these growing things that happen. And that's way more important than some stupid school packet that you have to do.
I don't know about you ladies, but the other thing I used to love was sometimes my mom would come home and, you know, it'd be like 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock. And she'd be like, we're going to go to the beach for the night. Mm-hmm. And you'd go to, you know, we'd go to Point Pleasant and we'd walk the boardwalk and go on the rides. That was always awesome, too, because like the night swimming thing, it was like the night at the beach.
Yeah.
And there's something about that was very exciting to me.
I don't know what that is, but I agree with you. Or I would get a shower even really late at night. And I remember my bedroom window would be open. Mm-hmm. And I can still remember the smell of like shampoo and summertime and sitting on my my bed and just, oh, and you feeling. Could hear the kids outside and yep. the swim club up the street.
It
oh.
was the best feeling. I think too oh, now, I feel like we made memories a little bit more than kids do today. So now if kids are all hanging out and doing things, you're going to see it on Instagram. You're going to see it on Facebook. We don't have those
we don't have any
memories
that.
Saved on a computer somewhere. We have them in our heads and we can go back and we can look at that anytime we want without having a drawer
Absolutely.
On the computer. And I think that's what makes it even more special. And when you see people you haven't seen in years that you had that childhood with, that you could talk about it and you can remember it and you're not looking back on your phone to remember it.
You know, there's something that you brought up that's really interesting is how you know, I feel like you live more in the moment when you're not worrying about, mm-hmm. oh, you know, we have all these people here. It'd be great to get a photo of us and post it to Facebook. But then what am I going to say? And mm-hmm. is the photo going to look good enough? And am I going to get any comments? Like, we just lived in the moment because there was none of that. It's almost like I've noticed recently when I go on vacation, I actually try to put the camera down a lot now.
Me too.
And I don't mean the camera like that I'm posting stuff to social media. I just mean like I don't need 16 photos of the same thing. Like put it down and look at what's in front of you and take that in as yeah. opposed to looking through a lens to take it in.
Right. Yeah. And I would love to get more into that. We're actually going to cover that topic in a couple yes. shows. We talked about doing that
yeah,
vacation
absolutely.
Pictures and over picture taking.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, share with us some of your memories of summers in New Jersey. You can email us at forever39@nj1015.com.
And our final topic for today is always a bridesmaid. Were you guys bridesmaids in weddings? Yes. Okay, me too. And some of them were so absolutely annoying to me that at this point in my life, I don't think I have the patience to deal with what I dealt with in my 20s. I was probably, I don't know, 10 plus weddings. Easy.
Wow.
Yeah. I have sisters. I had a lot of girlfriends, whatever. But Annette sent me a really interesting article from the New York Post. And I do have to say, I do think the article was a little slanted towards city life and,
sure. mm-hmm.
you know, of course, that type of culture and what a wedding must be up in Manhattan. But it makes me think, as I was reading and what these brides were expecting of their bridal party, it just reiterated what Annette and I talk about a lot on this podcast, which is this upcoming generation, the millennial generation. And they're just so self-involved and they think way too much, particularly now talking about weddings, this one day, just this one day, what they expect of people for their one day, mm-hmm. they think it matters as much to everyone as it does to them. And no one really gives a crap because in 6 hours, it's going to be over. Mm-hmm. But what was really interesting is that people are even asking their bridal party to go to plastic surgeons, to go on diets. It runs the gamut, these ridiculous things. And one bride said, you know, how people are represented, her, you know, her groom and her bridesmaids represent her. Well, calm down a notch. Like, I had a bunch of girls in my wedding. I didn't pick out their bridesmaid's dress. They actually did. I didn't make them coordinate shoes. They just had to match the dress. I bought them their earrings. But one girl said, how could, God forbid, how could they just wear stud earrings? Think of the weddings you've been to. How many weddings have you been to where you're back to thinking, God, that bridesmaid's heels were horrible? Like, do you ever notice right. that? Like, remember, she wore studs. She looked like a fool.
No one remembers any of that.
Those minute details.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Oh, so this article got me fired up.
Well, I read in brides.com that there was one bride who picked out a wedding dress that was over $10,000
oh,
and she
goodness.
Expected her bridesmaids to pay for it.
No, she
didn't. Because
did.
She wow. felt like they egged her on into buying it.
Oh
but
my gosh.
She wanted them to pay for it. Can you imagine?
Oh my gosh, I can't even.
I mean, I was really fortunate. I was in 4 weddings and none of the brides were bridezillas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, me either.
But I have heard horror stories from other friends that have said, you know, it was very challenging for them to be in the wedding because of the demands the bride made. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm really grateful that I don't have friends like that and that, you know, we all did everything together. We went and picked out the dresses together mm-hmm. and you know, it was great because as a plus size girl, some of the bridesmaids were thinner. And I remember, you know, asking a couple of the brides, do you mind if I get like a shawl?
Right.
You know, because it was like strapless and, mm-hmm. and everyone was cool with that. Like, even though it really wouldn't sort of match, the shawl matched, but it didn't match what the other girls were doing. They were all like very amenable to that. And, you know, I mean, I'm one of those people like, I like to match, so I don't have a problem when a bride's like asking me to get matching shoes, because I would do that anyway. Mm-hmm. But you know, I found like everybody was really great about like, you know, we want to help out with the hair or the jewelry or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I just think some people need to calm down with what they expect from people.
I will fully admit I had one freak out. I tried to be really cool about it and handle all the details myself, but I was talked into a dress and it was long sleeve and it was gorgeous. And I got married almost at like a museum like venue. So the dress kind of fit where I got married. But I just remember thinking, this is not what I want. This mm-hmm. is what my mom wants. This right. is not what I want. This. And I remember freaking out, and all the girls, God bless them, all of them came out Aww. And helped me. Like, I actually got my dress at Macy's. They allowed me to return it.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So I was kind of limited to shop through Macy's
sure,
dresses.
Of course.
But they all came out. They took a whole Saturday with me, and they knew I wasn't happy. And they knew, you know, so I yeah. do have to say I did freak out, but they were just, that's why they were at my wedding. They were a great group of girls. So I did have a freak out, but I didn't make them lose 20 pounds or go see a plastic right. surgeon to get augmented.
Your wedding yeah. shouldn't be about that.
No.
It should be about the love that you have for your husband
right.
and for each other, and that you want to celebrate that with the people that you chose, not because you didn't choose people because they were going to look better in a photo, maybe because they're, you know, like a model.
Right.
Like that's mm-hmm. what I think is disturbing, that like there's this whole push to get your bridesmaids to look picture perfect so that the pictures right. can be better.
Do they know this lasts a day?
I don't know.
Your marriage is going to last forever. So but, although yeah. I feel like you throw one hell of a party for everybody, mm-hmm. then there's, you know, then there's Sunday, then there's Monday, then there's, right. and then you yes. have to build a life with this person.
You so know? What about you, Tony? What kind of weddings were you in, and were any of the brides nuts?
I've been in four.
Okay.
One was really super easy. My grandmother actually made the dresses. So that was
That's
easy.
Awesome.
We just
That's
pretty much so said, this cool. is what we want and how we want it. And she did it. Another one, it was a disaster trying to figure out. All we knew was we had to wear pink. That's all we know. And so we could wear whatever we wanted.
What
so
shade
everybody
of pink?
Had one girl had flowers all over her dress. Somebody else had something. That just turned into a pillow at some point. After the wedding, I got
did
rid
that
of.
Look cool though, just giving okay, you all have to wear pink, and then everyone chose
it
their
was,
own.
It actually looked a little bit awkward, but you know what?
Oh, okay.
That wasn't the whole point of it. Was a very non-traditional wedding anyway, okay. so that wasn't a big deal. One was just at a Justice of the Peace. I think I wore jeans that day. I don't even remember.
That keeps it real casual.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And another Super one was easy. Very, very like, these are the dresses. None of them, they looked bad on all of us. They were very poofy pinks, shiny satin things. And the whole thing was a big, huge mess. My wedding, I ended up eloping, but the wedding that I had planned initially, I told my bridesmaids, I'm like, pick out what you want. I mean, you just let's just everybody get the same color and
sure.
do mm-hmm. what's going to look good on you, because I don't want anybody uncomfortable. And it was getting stressful. It was getting stressful to the point where my husband was like, this is supposed to be fun. Why are you freaking out? I'm like, because it has to be perfect. But then we ended up eloping anyway. And you know what? Best thing I ever did there. All that was eliminated, and I just wore a blue dress that I bought in a mall 10 minutes before the ceremony.
I love
and
it.
We were done. So yeah.
There is a lot of freedom, I have to say. So the three weddings that I was in, I had to go along with the dresses that the bride had identified. Mm-hmm. But we did have a say in it. Like, she picked out, you know, all of them sort of picked out a couple different mm-hmm. styles. And then we sort of all, like, agreed. But then my best friend's wedding was great because she was like, wear whatever you want. I told her I was probably going to wear blue because it made sense. It was a beach wedding. Mm-hmm. And I was like, blue is beautiful, right?
Yeah, so, it's a great color.
But then I was
pictures.
Able to go pick out what I wanted to wear and what I knew would look nice on me. And I really liked that because I really appreciated that, because it's just nice to be able to pick out something that you're comfortable in mm-hmm. and that you feel like you look beautiful in. And I actually, like, out of all the dresses that I have worn to weddings, I wish I still had that one, because it mm-hmm. wasn't really bridesmaid-y. Like, I could have wore that again. But you know how it is.
You
There's a
what?
Closet full of things, and you're like, I'm never going to wear this. And then, of course, a month later, you're like, why did I get rid of that?
I needed that dress. Could wear it every weekend.
Exactly.
But I was just thinking, you said the wedding you were in, you were allowed to pick what you wanted, and you felt comfortable and beautiful,
yes.
and you loved the dress mm-hmm. on you. So maybe these brides that are telling their girls they need to be super skinny or perfect nose or no chicken neck or whatever they're telling them, maybe if they let the people in their wedding feel beautiful how they feel beautiful, mm-hmm. they'd get the shots they want.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, if right? you're wearing something you don't want to wear, or you have your hair the way you don't want it, it's you know gonna, how that that's going to come through.
Whether you're a girl mm-hmm. or sure. a guy, you know how that feels.
It's yeah. going to come through, you know.
But I think a lot of this too goes back to, and like I harp on this a lot, but a lot of it goes back to, again, social media. And you want to yes. make sure you get those likes. You want to make sure people say, oh my God, everybody looks so perfect in yeah. your wedding. So you're not really doing it for you. You're not doing it for your future spouse. You're doing it to gain approval from people who are going to see this on social media.
From people you haven't seen in 20 years from high school.
Exactly.
So ridiculous.
Exactly. Yeah, you're
it's about two people who love each other committing to each other. And you know what? If you happen to look nice that day, that's fantastic. But that's not what it's about.
That's not what it's about.
I think it just snowballs. I think right. even people who want to keep it simple, once you commit to having a wedding, it just snowballs. That's why, like, if I ever get married, I'm like, you know what? Me, you, City Hall, let's
Elope.
Go. Party in Italy, exactly. me, you, honeymoon, whatever. I just don't even want to get into it because I feel like it would snowball for me.
It would.
Mm-hmm. I just feel like I know me, and I think I would be like, no. It has to be the candle opera from, you know, the 1920th, whatever. Like,
he's so organized, though. Your wedding would be the most organized in history.
True. I just think it'd be messy.
You'd have stats for everyone.
Notes, right? Exactly. Well, were you ever part of a wedding where the bride was a total bridezilla? Take our poll over at nj1015.com.
And on that note, that wraps up this episode of Forever 39. It went so, because Tony Ann's with us.
That's right.
On next week's show, we're going to talk about couples who sleep in separate beds, how to keep your kids boredom-free and occupied as the summer continues, and should cell phones be banned for the 13-year-old and younger set? That's
all right, well, thank
girls.
You so much, Tony.
Thank you.
As always, we'll have you back soon.
Cool.
Bye, guys. Have a good week.
Bye.
Bye.